Let everybody be standing and open your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 11. 1 Samuel 11. And we're going to read in concert from verse 1 through to verse 11. That is, we're going to read together. And I want you to read at the top of your voice. Does not matter what translation you have. I prefer King James, but I study with various translations. 1 Samuel 11, from verse 1 to 11. 1 to go. Then Nahash. Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes, and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came messengers to Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Gabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the way of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by this time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch, and slew the Ammonites unto the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. May God bless his beautiful word in Jesus' name. And may the Holy Spirit rest upon this word and give us divine enlightenment today in Jesus' mighty name. I want you to tell your neighbor, shake 2 or 3 people, say help is on the way. Come on, say it like you mean it. Help is on the way. Help. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. And God bless you as you do so. This season we shall be talking about favor and help. One thing I realized is that anywhere, anytime grace or favor is released, help is always present. Wherever favor goes, help follows. And I know today, help has come for somebody. I know help has come for me. Help has come for this church. In Jesus' mighty name. If we, as children of God, the set aside people, if we continue to sin against God, then we give the upper hand to the enemies of our destiny. And that's the truth. Let me just give you a background story. I won't take long on that at all. On this scenario that we've just read, you know, the Ammonites. Who are the Ammonites? The Ammonites are descendants of Lot. They are the sons of Ammon, the second son from the daughter of Lot, whom Lot slept with, or who was raped by his daughters. They became enemies of Israel out of bitterness. There are people in your life who think they have a right to what you have. And they will do anything to get it out of your hands. They rose up in the time of Jephthah. You remember when Jephthah was called back from exile to come and head the armies of Israel. Jephthah dealt with the Ammonites. But after a while, they began to gather again. They began to regroup. And that's what Satan does. You send away demons, they will try to come back again. But there are certain things Jesus commanded to go away, never to return. Anything that would destroy your destiny, today they are leaving you, and never to return again. In Jesus' mighty name. I think I've told you the title of my message. Arise, my favor and helper. Arise. Somebody says, arise, my favor and helper. Amen. There was a time when the people of Gilead raped a woman. This story is a sad one. A concubine of somebody, they raped her and they ran away. The man who owned the concubine killed the woman, divided her body and sent it to all the people of Israel. And Gilead was in among the Benjamites, where Saul really came from, the tribe of Benjamin. Now, the situation was, the tribe of Benjamin refused to send the culprit to be disciplined. So now there was internal war. The children of Israel now gathered, all the other tribes gathered together to fight the Benjamites. They went to God on three occasions. Should we fight them? And God gave them the go ahead. To be honest with you, I don't understand. The first two times, the Benjamites overcame them. The third time, God gave them victory. I pray God will give you victory over your enemies. So it came to the point whereby the children of Israel now overran Benjamin and the Gileadites and killed a lot of them. Only a remnant of about 600 were left. But then over the years, they became neighbors with Israel. And then over the years, they began to multiply. At that time, the Bible said, according to Judges chapter 21, verse 25, there was no king in Israel. There was no ruler. Everybody did whatsoever they liked. And it's always a danger when you do whatever you like. It's dangerous. It is very dangerous. Hallelujah. The people of Jabesh then, who refused to cut a covenant with Israel. I'm cutting that long story because it will cut into my message. They refused to cut a covenant with the children of God. Now, a man, wicked, evil man, called Nahash, very harsh, rose up against Jabesh Gilead and said to them, I'm going to destroy all of you except you submit to me. You see, that's one of the things the devil does. He comes to threaten your destiny and say, if you don't submit to me, I will take away your peace. When did the devil begin to distribute peace? Since when? When did the leopard change his skin? Since when? Satan has no peace for anybody. Hallelujah. The people of Jabesh Gilead wanted peace by all means. And they said, okay, we'll cut a covenant with you. You refuse to cut a covenant with God. Now you are going to cut a covenant with Satan. And Nahash, his name means serpent. That's the literal meaning of his name. King Serpent. He's the king of the serpents. Like the one that came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he said, well, I will give you peace on one condition. What's your condition? I'm going to take out all your right eyes and humiliate all of you in the presence of the whole Israel. Satan says, I will take your vision. I will humiliate your destiny in the presence of all onlookers. The truth here is, when you refuse God's plan, you will have to pay a higher price for the devil's plot. Many people think, Christians especially, at least those who don't know God, we know they don't. And those of us who claim to know Him, we don't really show that we know Him. There's no cutting a deal with God. It's about following His will. It's about following His command. It's about doing what God instructs us to do. Only God can give peace. Praise the Lord. I told us a few weeks ago, there are no sidelines. There are only sides. There's no middle ground. It's either you cut the covenant with God or you go and cut it with the devil with your vision. Hallelujah. The men of Jabesh Gilead, they had no defense. They had no means of defense. What does this tell me? When you are not on God's side, then God too is not on your side. And then you are left helpless. You have no defense at all. Because if God does not fight for you, you are not guaranteed victory. Only God can fight for you and you win. Praise the Lord. The men of Jabesh Gilead were defenseless against the man who promised to take out their eyes, to remove all their vision. His proposition was too much for them. Praise the Lord. This makes me to tell somebody here today, don't joke with your destiny. Don't become a laggard. Don't be slow to connect with the will and the purpose of God. Even if everybody you know are turning away, it's not a reason to turn away. Because God does not work by majority. It is one person with God that becomes the majority. Everybody cannot be in the same place at the same time. But God can be in the same place at the same time. He can be everywhere at the same time. Everybody cannot know all things. But God knows all things. Everybody, no matter how many, can see all things. But God can see all things. In darkness, you need night vision binoculars as a person. God, for God, even darkness is light before Him. Darkness cannot shroud the eyes of God. He doesn't need the sun to see. He doesn't need electricity to see. Do you not remember that where His throne is, He's surrounded by light. In heaven, there is no darkness at all. He's the one who creates the end of the earth even before it was formed. Praise the Lord. Jabez Gilead now was at the mercy of the serpent. Jabez Gilead was at the mercy of Nahash. I pray for somebody that your destiny will not be at the mercy of your enemies. Some people didn't say amen. I say your destiny will not be at the mercy of your enemies. You will not get to a point where your enemies will be giving you conditions. You'll be the one giving your enemies conditions. Because God is going to put your foot on the neck of your enemies. If you are that person, shout a good amen. I don't need to announce to you that Satan wants to steal your God-given vision and humiliate you. It was the same serpent. The nature, the evil nature that was in Nahash that stole the vision of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Stole everything God has made available for them. They lost focus. They lost their God-given vision. They lost direction. I say you will not be at the mercy of your enemies. Hallelujah. And you know what the Bible says? In Proverbs 29 and verse 18. He says, where there is no vision, the people perish. No wonder Satan is after your God-given vision. No wonder Satan wants you to be discouraged. No wonder Satan wants you to be distracted. Somebody say, I have victory. Somebody say, I have victory. In the name of Jesus, I have victory. Hallelujah. Satan's condition of relief is too costly. Somebody said, education is too costly. But then, another one said, have you tried ignorance? Ignorance is more expensive. That is why, you know, let me digress a little bit. God said, you are neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm. I will spew you out of my mouth. Logically, you will think, okay, lukewarm is better than cold, right? The truth is, lukewarm is more dangerous than cold. half-baked education is more dangerous than the one that is not educated at all. Did you see where I'm going? A half-baked educated person will kill you. Somebody who don't, I saw something on Facebook yesterday. It was a call for a night vigil. 4 days of warfare. And the pastor was holding a microphone on his left hand and a cutlass on his right hand. Now, some people will go to that night vigil because the one who is calling them does not know, and they too don't know that the weapons of our warfare, they are not on cutlass. They are mighty true God in the pulling down of strongholds. God can pursue a man without him running. Did you hear me? God can flog somebody and yet he won't hold the cane. Somebody say, God, have mercy. Amen. Satan's condition of relief is too costly. Don't try it. If you are still one of those people who think, well, I don't need anybody to make it. I don't need God in my life to make it. You lie. You might make whatever you want to make, but that same God will see to it that you don't enjoy it as you ought to. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I need God. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Say, neighbor, you need God. Don't fall for the deception of Satan. The men of Jabesh Gilead now said, King Nahash, this your condition is too harsh. Give us 7 days. If we can't find anybody, then take over. Somebody today is going to serve a 7-day notice to your situation. Are you listening to me? Today, you are going to serve a 7 days notice to that situation in your life. 7 days is too much for God to intervene. And I see him intervening. Because favor and your helper, they are rising for you today. I'm praying for somebody that God will arise on your behalf to frustrate any devil that has backed you up in a corner. The people of Jabesh Gilead, they were backed up. Is there any way to turn to? There's always a way to turn to. And God is that way. Hallelujah. Amen. A lot of people in the church today, they are like the men of Jabesh Gilead. Backed up. Many have succumbed to Satan because they think they have no other way out. Who told you you have no way out? Have you cried to the one who holds the key of David in his hand? Have you cried to the one who can open and no man can shut? Have you cried to the one who can shut and no man can open? Have you called upon the everlasting Father? The one who says, call upon me and I will answer you. Have you tried calling upon him before you gave up? Wherever you gave up today, you are going to rise up from that place today. He said to Mary and Martha, where did you bury him? Where did you bury your hope? Where did you bury your destiny? Where did you bury your helper? Show me. They say, he must be stinking by now. It's even worse than the day he died. Jesus said, what's my business with that? I will recreate him. He went to the tomb and he called, Lazarus, come forth. The man whose body was decaying, who had left, came back. And he began to come out of the tomb. Your help is coming out today. I say your helper is coming out today. Your cover is coming out today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus says, loose him. Let him go. Whatever has held up your help is loose today. I say your help is loose today. Your helper is set loose upon you today. In the name of Jesus Christ. God will frustrate that demon. God will frustrate that devil on your behalf in Jesus' name. Satan's prize is impractical. It's impractical. Can you imagine somebody who is poor? Listen to this hypothesis. You are poor. Then you go to a herbalist. And the herbalist says, go and bring one white goat and one black goat and 30 yards of lace, a gallon of palm oil. Now. I don't even eat that because I'm poor. But you see, it's also a principle in reverse. When God says give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together. And now you say, I don't have. Will that person, that poor man, tell the babalawo, I don't have? He wouldn't. He would do whatever he can to go and get those things, because false hope has been sold to him. But God does not sell false hope. He gives the truth. And then we that we say we belong to him, we reject the truth. And those who are ignorant in the world, they can't say no to the devil who is still tricking them. Somebody say, I need God's help. Say it like you mean it. Until you really cry to God for help, you may just be wasting your time, wasting your efforts. People would rather cry to a man. Why? A man whose breath is in his nostrils. You and I, we are never the source. We are just resources in the hands of God. We are conduits. In the village, you want the cleanest water. Where do you go? You go to the head of the stream. Isn't it? You go to the main source. Not the one that has been flowing with germs. That's where you get the cleanest spring water. The source. When the eagle wants to rejuvenate, he doesn't go to any river to drink. When all his feathers are falling off, he goes into the rock. Because almost every mountain, every rock has a source of water. The eagle will find it. And that is where he will spend 40 days drinking from that source. And then new feathers will grow. And is ready for a new journey. Vision renewed. May God renew somebody's vision here today. The men of Jabesh Gilead wept. They sent messages all around their neighboring Israel. Because Israel was a divided nation at that time. And then their cry came to a man who had been anointed before. Who had been chosen to be the king. And he was also, God has a sense of humor. He was Saul of Benjamin. Right? He was of that tribe that was cut off from Israel. Isn't that amazing? And then Saul saw people crying. He was not crowned king then. But he was anointed. What is this that makes people cry? I want to pray ahead for somebody. That this month, may your situation come to the attendance and to the attention of the person who will help you. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. Let me read this scripture to you. Let me read it. Verse 4, 1 Samuel 11. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. He was a worker. Saul too was a worker. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? Why are the people weeping? Their cry came to his attention. Listen to the next verse. And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And what? The Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings. His anger was kindled greatly. He was ready to fight for them. God is going to raise up somebody who will pick up your situation and fight for you this month. I say God is going to raise a united front of somebody, be it a man or a woman, be it an organization or a company, who will pick up your situation and fight for you in Jesus' mighty name. Why do I know that? Because the season to favor you has come. Favor will arise for you. Your helper will arise for you in Jesus Christ's name. Saul became the appointed helper. Favor carried their cry to where Saul was. Favor brought Saul out of the earth in the field to where the people were crying so that he could hear their voice and act accordingly. I say the favor of God is coming upon somebody's situation in these 7 days. In Jesus' mighty name. I say it again. 7 days is more than enough for God to intervene on your behalf. In Jesus' name. Now, you want to ask me? The men of Jabesh Gilead, did they deserve this favor? Did they deserve it? Did they deserve that Israel should rise up for them? No, they didn't. And that's why favor worked for them. Because favor works for you because you don't deserve it. Favor is not in operation because you deserve it, but because you don't deserve it. One of my sons in the Lord here, on his internship. His passport expired. The company said, you can't work here without a valid passport. So we are giving you XYZ number of days to get your passport, or you are done, or we are done with you. His passport came a couple of days, actually on the day he was meant to resume, or a day after he was meant to resume work. So he called them. They said, okay, come and start the following day. They now sent him, the HR sent him an email and said, there are four other people who have your same situation. They fired them. He said, but you are lucky. Listen to this. The person don't understand. You understand what I'm trying to say? It wasn't luck. Luck had nothing to do with it. It was favor. Does he deserve it? The law says no. But God kept his place. Favor kept his place. Favor will work for you this season. Ah, somebody didn't understand that. I said favor will work for you this season. In the name of Jesus. Maybe you have been threatened somewhere. There's what is called the law of substitution. Instead of the axe falling on you, it will fall on somebody else. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at this is, maybe they are going to promote some people. The law of substitution. Because you are not among those to be promoted, law of substitution will go into effect this month. And somebody will be removed. And you will be put in for that promotion. So shall it be. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout a better amen. Brethren. God has placed you and I on this planet Earth. You are here today in this Kansas City for a purpose. Therefore, we need his help. We need the help of God. What would my life have been if not for the help of God? My wife and I, we celebrated our 7 years. Wedding anniversary yesterday. And, you know, as we thank you. As we sat down facing each other, we began to recount how God had helped us throughout this last 7 years. It was not easy. Many times we got to breaking point. Not against ourselves. At least by God's grace, we don't have that problem. But there were other issues. But God, the God of our help, always shows up. All we could do was just give God thanks and praise. The God of divine perfection. That same God will arise on the behalf of somebody this month of June. God will arise for somebody. He will bring you unprecedented help, abiding help. Instead of embarrassment, he will bring honor into your life. If you believe, he said, amen. the song by Plum that we sang today. Lord, I'm ready now. Lord, I'm ready. I want to ask somebody, are you ready? Are you ready for God's intervention? Are you ready for God to step into your situation? Because as long as you say, you know what, you can do it by yourself, then you keep God at bay. As long as your heart keeps being negative, you keep God at bay. As long as you cannot forgive, you keep God at bay. Are you ready? The songwriter said, Lord, I'm ready now. I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for your helper to come? I used to watch a show. I can't remember the name of that show anymore. This guy comes into companies that are not making it. He will offer them money, not to buy them out, but to be the majority shareholder and revive the company. And there's no company he has taken over that does not make it. And there are some who will refuse that help, and they go bankrupt. Let me tell you something about God. God is not coming to share with you. He's coming to take over. Are you listening to me? God wants to take over. And that is the struggle of mankind. We are not willing to let go. We are not ready to surrender. The people of Jabesh Gilead, there are two options. Surrender to the one who will remove their vision, or surrender to the God who will take over and yet bring prosperity into their lives. I've watched Shark Tank offers up. I love to watch those things. Stimulates my mind. You have a company you've been running for 7 years and you are making nothing. And somebody comes and say, give me 50% of it. I'll turn it around, and you say, no, I can't. Then struggle continues. Hallelujah. What they don't realize is, 50% multiplied by 1,000 is much more than 100% multiplied by 10. You can't run your life. You can't run your destiny. You need God. I need God. And I pray that God will come on the situation for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Are you willing to give that situation over to God this season? I told us last week or 2 weeks ago, as I was in the bathroom alone, downstairs here washing my hands, and I just began to tell myself, it's a serious matter. It's a serious matter. Especially our young people. You have to ask yourself, do you really know this God? Do you really, really know this God? Are you willing to surrender your totality to this God? Or you have something out there that is still attracting you? God doesn't mix with any other thing. The truth of the matter is, we've been there and there's nothing there. But in God, we have everything. Everything. All of it. Praise the Lord. Are you willing to surrender that situation that is choking you? The hand of that devil is on your neck, taking the life out of you, and you are still struggling with God, And God is saying, give me that life. Songwriter said, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need. Going to say to God today, I need you. I'm ready, Lord. I'm tired of figuring it out by myself. I am willing to wait on your favor. I am willing to wait on my helper to arise on my behalf, to overcome every ugly situation. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God.